Blog Talk Radio.
It was very late at night. I was sitting outside on a rock. As Stan said, I showed him the rock when he came to my home. And I was just thinking, what did I do? I was crying so my family wouldn't see me. And all of a sudden, I saw a light coming towards me. When I saw the light, I thought it was a car. Because in Romania and in Italy, they always try to run me over with cars. So I thought, they found me here too.
Dar n-a fost mașină,
but it was not a car.
Că lumina m-a cucerit,
the light surrounded me.
Și din lumina m-a auzit aceeași voce.
And out of the light I heard the same voice.
Era același înger.
It was the same angel.
Dumitru, de ce ești disperat?
Dumitru, why are you so despaired?
De ce m-ai pedepsit așa de tare?
Why did you punish me so harshly?
Ce am făcut eu?
What did I do?
Ce nu m-ai lăsat pe mine în pușcărie?
Why couldn't you let me stay in prison?
Familia avea unde să stea.
But my family would have had a home.
Zic, eu n-am unde îmi plec acasă.
I don't have a bed to lay my head down on.
De ce m-ai adus aici?
Why was I brought here?
Dumitru, am adus aici că țara asta va
arde. Dumitru, I brought you to this country because this country will burn.
Și m-ai dus să mă ard aici și nu m-ai lăsat să mor în pușcărie în țara mea.
So why did you bring me here to burn? Why didn't you let me die in jail in my own country?
Dumitru, taci.
He said, Dumitru, be quiet.
Urcă-te lângă mine.
Get beside me.
Ce aparat a avut? Nu.
I don't know what the device was.
M-a tras lângă el.
But he pulled me beside him.
Mi-a arătat toată California.
And he showed me all of California.
Ce ți arăt?
Do you see what I've shown you?
Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Păcatul lor a ajuns înaintea lui Dumnezeu.
Their sins have reached God.
Și Dumnezeu a hotărât să-i pedepsească pe
foc. And God has decided to punish them by fire.
M-a dus și mi-a arătat Las Vegas.
He came and showed me Las Vegas.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va
arde. And one day it will burn.
Mi-a arătat New York.
He came and showed me New York.
Aici e New York.
This is New York.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va arde.
And one day it will burn.
M-a dus și mi-a arătat Florida.
And then he showed me Florida.
Aici e Florida.
This is Florida.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va arde.
And then one day it will burn.
Da, cu mine ce ai să faci?
Been listening to the Wake Up America message with Dimitru Dudeman. For a copy of this very important message, please go to our website at handofhelp.com. Never before in the history of our country has our nation been in more jeopardy than now. Please order a copy of the video Wake Up America at the handofhelp.com website and get the warning out while we still have time. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
All right, welcome to the program and thank you for joining us. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast. I am Michael Boldea, your host, and yes, I made it back safe and sound. Dallas was warmer than Wisconsin. The food was markedly better because, hey, Texas has barbecue. But I think what stuck the longest and I still feel the kinship is that it was a worthwhile conference. The teaching was substantive. And I got to meet someone that I'd wanted to meet for a very long time, which was Henry Gruber. From what he says, he was at our home in California back in the mid-80s, but I guess I was too young to have remembered the visit. So it was great to sit with him and have dinner and just talk about Jesus. You have to respect someone who's 88 years old and he's still in ministry, still going strong. That's dedication. So if ever I see the age of 88 or even 68, I hope I'm half as enthusiastic about traveling and preaching and teaching as he was. A lot has been happening, as it always does. It seems news cycles are getting shorter, and our attention span jumps from one thing to another to another. But something that someone made me aware of is the fact that Pope Francis, he of the Catholic faith, said that there is no hell. Now, if he did say this, apparently the press releases are going hot and heavy from the Catholic Archdiocese, denying the fact, because they realized something fundamental. that a lot of people, a lot of Catholics, practicing or otherwise, upon hearing that the Pope himself said there is no hell, will likely come to a singular conclusion and have only one question. If there is no hell, then what do we need you for? That's one way to kill your customer base, I guess. Sort of like Toys R Us, who funded Planned Parenthood to the tune of tens of millions of dollars so that Planned Parenthood could exterminate, murder, and otherwise keep from being alive potential Toys R Us customers, because it wasn't adults who were buying the toys. It was adults buying toys for children. Now, Toys R Us, somebody high up, or at least high enough up to write multi-million dollar checks, decided it's a good idea for us to fund abortion mills. It's a good idea for us to finance the murder of babies. That'll make our stock skyrocket. Well, Toys R Us declared bankruptcy really recently because the customer base just wasn't there. Thank Planned Parenthood. Catholic Church is probably going to be facing the same sort of conundrum. If you're telling people that there is no hell, you eliminate, in large part, their reason for being a member of the Catholic Church. Because, as you may know, the Catholic Church does not encourage or insist upon a personal relationship with Jesus. The Pope is the go-between. That's a key factor. That's the key difference between, or there are many, but one of the key differences between Catholicism and Protestantism. So the Pope being the go-between, if you have sins to confess, you find a priest to confess your sins. He tells you how to humble yourself, what you must do, whether Hail Marys or whatever else. I don't know. Never been a practicing Catholic. But I've seen a couple TV shows. That's how it always works in the TV shows. So if you eliminate the notion of hell, and if you tell people hell doesn't exist, then the obvious question is, what do we need you for? You know, we all like funny hats, but not enough to give our money just to see funny hats. So I think the Catholic Church has stuck its foot in its mouth, or at least the Pope has, and now I think they're trying to backpedal. So you're likely going to see stories about how he didn't really mean that. It's you know, but again, hell is real. The Bible tells us it is. What was it? Let's go into the story a little bit, because it's interesting. He said that there's no such thing as hell. It's just cessation of existence. Now, if it was just cessation of existence, there are certain passages in Revelation that describe, the worm that never sleeps, or the parable of the rich man Lazarus, who was very hot at a certain point. Hot enough to ask that someone just, you know, one drop of water on his parched lips. So, the Pope is of a certain age, and like all men of a certain age, he can say foolish things. But because he has the name Pope before him, people take him seriously. Pope Francis, quotation, there is no hell. That's what the article begins as its title. And it says, in another interview with his longtime atheist friend, Eugenio Scalfari, well, that ought to tell you a lot, because Pope Francis has an atheist friend who he hasn't managed to convert. Being Pope. Anyhooty. In another interview with his longtime atheist friend, Eugenio Scalfari, Pope Francis claims that hell does not exist and that condemned souls just disappear. Aha. So that's it. Lights out. Good night, Sally. Just cessation of existence. Not so. Now, this is a denial of the 2,000-year-old teaching of the Catholic Church about the reality of hell and the eternal existence of the soul. Ha-ha. So, not just the Catholic Church teaching. This is accepted dogma that hell is real, that you know, the soul exists in perpetuity. The interview between Scalfari and the Pope was published March 28, 2018, in La Repubblica. The relevant section on hell was translated by the highly respected weblog Rorate Caeli. It's the Italian thing. Now, the interview is headlined, "The Pope, it is an honor to be called revolutionary." Why not add heretical to it? So, a revolutionary heretic. Yay! All right, Scalfari says to the Pope, "Your Holiness, in our previous meeting, you told me that our species will disappear in a certain moment and that God, still out of his creative force, will create new species." That's just insanity out of whole cloth right there. But hey, the Pope said it, must be true. "You have never spoken to me about the souls who died in sin and will go to the hell to suffer it for eternity. You have, however, spoken to me of good souls, admitted to the contemplation of God. But what about bad souls? Where are they punished?" In hell. They're punished in hell. Eternal torment, outer darkness, whatever you want to call it, it's there. Now, Pope Francis says, "They are not punished. Those who repent obtain the forgiveness of God and enter the rank of souls who contemplate him. But those who do not repent and cannot therefore be forgiven disappear." Sort of like the search history of certain pastors on the internet on Lowly Nights. Simply disappear. There is no hell. There is the disappearance of sinful souls. Now, whether you like the accent or not, let me repeat it. Sans accent. There is no hell. There is the disappearance of sinful souls. So whichever way you prefer it, he still says something that is not biblical. Show me where the disappearance of souls is anywhere in the Bible, or even in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Let's go that. So even in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, what he's saying is antithetical to that. Because the Catechism of the Catholic Church says this: "The teaching of the Church affirms the existence of hell and its eternity. Immediately after the death, the souls of those who die in a state of mortal sin descend into hell, where they suffer the punishments of hell, eternal fire. The chief punishment of hell is eternal separation from God, in whom alone man can possess the life and happiness for which he was created and for which he longs." So that is in the Catholic Catechism. And this current Pope said, "Who cares? I'm a revolutionary." So, snap of a finger, you disappear, never more to be remembered. And all those good Catholics who, out of fear of eternal hellfire, go every Sunday and take communion and give a few shekels, now wonder to themselves, if there is no hell, and the worst that can happen to me is cessation of existence of a soul that I do not know how it will be aware or cognitive once the body dies, then what's the point of coming here and having my clothes smell like incense? So yes, Il Papa is the Pope. The man with the funny beanie did step in at this time. So I guarantee you they're going to backpedal this, because Otherwise, you're going to see a lot of Catholic churches shutter. Because one sad but true reality of religion, I'm not talking about relationship with Christ. I'm not talking about sovereign grace. I'm not talking about true Christianity. I'm talking about religion and religiosity. A lot of people, more people than we would like to admit, even within the ranks of Protestantism, practice religion and religiosity because they like the fire insurance. They do not do it from a position of love. They do not do it from a place of adoration for God and for what Christ did. They do it because they don't want to burn. That's the issue. That's the problem. That's the problem the Catholic Church is going to have. Because if the one who is essentially the mouthpiece of God on earth is telling the couple billion Catholics, I guess it is, that there is no hell, it eliminates the reason why hundreds of millions of them gave money to the church and were faithful adherents to it. So it will be interesting to see where this goes. However, the Catechism of the Catholic Church further states this: the affirmations of sacred scriptures and the teachings of the church on the subject of hell are a call to the responsibility incumbent upon man to make use of his freedom in view of his eternal destiny. They are at the same time an urgent call to conversion. Enter by the narrow gate. Indeed. Enter by the narrow gate. Apparently the narrow gate is not the Catholic Church. However, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. What destruction? You just cease to exist. Poof. Zip poof, as they would say in Italy. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few, indubitably. Since we know neither the day nor the hour, we should follow the advice of the Lord and watch constantly so that when the single course of our earthly life is completed, we may merit to enter with him. Merit? Well, there you go. Are you meriting to enter with him into the marriage feast and be numbered among the blessed? Grace really is not a big component of the Catholic Church. I do believe in meritocracy when it comes to earthly government. But you cannot merit your way into heaven. There is nothing you can do, no matter how hard you try, to merit, meaning to deserve, to be entitled to entry into heaven. For by grace you were saved. Now, once we are saved by grace, the works naturally follow. Because there is, see, balance is a good thing. Show me your faith and I'll show you my works. So all of those, you know, there's no works needed. I don't got to do nothing. No, sorry. Once grace fills you, it transforms you. Once the saving power takes root in your heart, you can't help but be a different creature, born again unto God. That means you do different. You act different. You prioritize your life differently. Because, see, grace has been abused just as much as the doctrine of works has. And the truth is somewhere in the middle. Because we're saved by grace and not by works, but once we're saved, works are a natural component of what we as believers ought to be. However, works does not mean merit. It doesn't mean you can work your way into heaven or work your way to meriting, deserving, being entitled to St. Peter opening the doors and saying, come on in, you deserve this one. So that is another sticking point of Catholicism and the catechism thereof, that ought to be investigated by those who are flirting with the idea that they can jump from being, from Protestantism to Catholicism and back again, maybe, you know, try their hand at Orthodoxy because they got nicer hats, thinking that it's all the same chowder. It's not. Very different chowders. Taste different, make you react different. Some of them not very good for you. So just keep that in mind. Because there's this constant struggle within Christendom. To see if the grass is greener on the other side. And it astounds me that I've met men who were AG, Assemblies of God pastors, who converted to Catholicism because they got disillusioned with, the Assemblies of God catechism. Again, it's not a meritocracy. I'm sorry. It's not about merit to enter with him into the marriage feast and be numbered among the blessed. It's about grace and receiving the grace that only Christ can give and being cleansed by the blood of Jesus of all the filth and the sin and the things that kept us from knowing the fullness of him. But the catechism continues, and he says, not like the wicked and the slothful servants, to be ordered to depart. See, this is the reason they continue, because, again, it returns and reverts back to the eternal fire and the outer darkness, where men will weep and gnash their teeth. The weeping and the gnashing of teeth, biblical, it's in the book. Eternal fire, biblical, in the book. The disappearance of the human soul, not so biblical, not in the book. Pope Benedict said in a 2007 sermon, Jesus came to tell us that he wants us all in heaven and that hell, of which so little is said in our time, exists and it is eternal for those who close their hearts to his love. As for the human soul, the Catholic Church teaches that it is eternal, immortal, in countless places throughout the Catechism. One instance, endowed with a spiritual and immortal soul, the human person is the only creature on earth that God has willed for its own sake. From his conception, he is destined for eternal beatitude. As I said, they're going to have to backtrack this just a little bit if they hope to keep the churches afull. In a statement released on March 29th, the article came out March 28th, after Scalfari's report garnered worldwide attention, I would say so, the Vatican said, the Holy Father Francis recently received the founder of the newspaper La Repubblica in a private meeting on the occasion of Easter without, however, giving him any interviews. What is reported by the author in today's article in La Repubblica is the result of his reconstruction, in which the textual words pronounced by the Pope are not quoted. No quotation of the aforementioned article must, therefore, be considered as a faithful transcription of the words of the Holy Father. So what they're saying is that either the founder of the newspaper La Repubblica lied through his teeth, being an atheist, you know, can't trust him, Or the Holy Father said it, and now the church is doing what is known in Italy as damage control, or in the U.S., damage control. Exactly. So would I put it past this particular pope to have said that there is no hell? Absolutely not. Because if any pope would, this one would. So that's where we are with the controversy regarding hell and the Catholic Church. Now, before I forget about it, we do have an update and a praise report from Brenda. I know she wrote one earlier. I tried to find it. I don't know where it went. It wasn't in my spam folder. It wasn't in my trash. It wasn't anywhere. But there was an update before this one about her son. But this particular update apparently is headed in the right direction. If you remember, Brenda's son was estranged. He'd gone off, wanted nothing to do with his parents, got into drugs and all the stuff that seems to be permeating and making victims of the young nowadays. But she did write a small note and said this, my son made it from jail to a six-month men's meth program. He qualified for Social Security to pay for the treatment, as all state-sponsored has long waiting lists. I feel the prayers of those who care and want to thank you. Ryan sounds good, and although we've only spoken briefly, seems to be regaining his mind. Please continue to pray for his salvation. In Christ, Brenda. So for those of you that have been praying for Brenda and her son, I would encourage you to continue doing it, because it is bearing fruit. Sometimes the path to repentance is hard. We resist to our own detriment, and so God has to humble us still. Keep praying. God is able. God knows how to bring us to that place of humbling ourselves in repentance. So what else has been happening since I skipped a week? I was on a flight. Well, it seems that an actress of the pornographic sort and a open homosexual who insisted on calling conservatives and Christians teabaggers not very long ago decided to become the moral authority of these United States and browbeat all those who would dare try to save the republic by voting for this current administration into being shamed, I say, for from what it seems by all accounts having a consensual affair with the woman some 10-12 years ago. So yes, a porn actress and Anderson Cooper, the man who referred to conservatives and Christians as teabaggers. And if you don't know what that is, it's not a derogatory term for men of his sexual proclivity, but for normal folk, you know, it is sort of derogatory. So, yes, they have now become the moral arbiters. And I'm going to tell you this because it needs to be said, and I know I'm going to catch flack for it, because there's people that are obsessed with this on both sides. But there's going to be a full-out onslaught by every single one of these depraved talking heads trying to separate the Christian right, the base, from voting in the upcoming primaries, in the upcoming 2018 elections. So this is going to be a full-blown assault. I guarantee it. You're going to be moralized to by people that have absolutely no morality, and they will attempt to shame people into staying home and not going to vote. Because if they can win the House or they can win the Senate or both, then impeachment proceedings will be forthcoming. And I guarantee you this, if they succeed and Pence becomes president, then they will have the same vitriolic hatred of Pence as they do of Trump, because these people don't know how to coexist, even though they have stickers that say coexist on their car. That's the rub of it. So on the one side, you have that, all the hedonists and perverts and pederasts and pedophiles moralizing to the Christians of, how can you vote for somebody who had a consensual relationship with someone of the opposite sex 12 years ago? Now, it wasn't proven. There's no evidence as of yet. It was denied by one of the parties. So, yeah, no. The thing of it is as follows. Consensual. I've talked about on this program pastors getting rubdowns by homosexual escorts while on ecstasy. Pastors being accused of having homosexual relationships with teenagers that were supposed to be under their tutelage. Now, those people you have a right to criticize because they're supposed to be spiritual leaders. The moment that Trump has the word pastor in front of his name, I'll be the first standing in line going, uh-uh, not going to happen. Sorry, son. But by the same token, to say that something that happened 12 years ago, consensually, unlike William Jefferson Clinton, disqualifies a man from being president today, I think that's a bridge too far. Now, why would someone come out and lie like that if it was a lie? Because in the dirty, nasty, underbelly world of pornography, apparently because of this woman is now number one with a bullet, even though she is far past her prime. Read an article on that. It popped up on my phone. She is number one when it comes to debasement or searches for those that want to debase themselves. And being number one, she is able to garner a lot more money for doing what she's always done. There's always a vested interest. There's always something underpinning people's sudden desire to come out and tell the truth. Because I've heard that one too many times. Look, they tried the same con job on Roy Moore, and it worked. Remember that. Because this is going to keep happening and happening and happening. We were 13 years old, and he held my hand, even though I said that I didn't want him to hold my hand. Oh, Lord. Did you hear that? Disqualified. He should be in prison. How dare you hold her hand when she didn't verbalize it, but, you know, she felt uncomfortable. This is where we've come to as a nation. Everybody thinks that everyone else should be in jail, even though no law was broken. If the man broke the law, then by all means, begin proceedings. If the law was not broken, then tough nookies, kids. But it's going to get uglier. It's going to get so much uglier. Because to a lot of people on the left, I don't think they'll be able to survive mentally the idea of another 4 years of this administration. They realize that they can't play the race card anymore. That's been played out. They can't say that this administration hates the poor because, what, it's the lowest unemployment rate since 1973. So this is what they got. Anderson Cooper, the most moral of moral men, trying to browbeat Christians into not voting because it's indecent. I'm not defending anyone being a realist here. Okay? There's an agenda behind the left all of a sudden becoming moralists. Because I guarantee you, if they threw open the closets of every one of these pompous jerks that keep bloviating on and on about, oh, and showed their skeletons, Donald Trump would be submitted for sainthood, at least in the Catholic Church. For those of you that got that, you got it. For those that didn't, think on it. So, again, it's going to get uglier. Now, on the other side of the spectrum, you've got the rabid Tide Pod eaters who insist that you give up your right to defend your family because they say so. So, adding to the fuel are intellectual luminaries, most of whom are currently wearing adult diapers because they're incontinent, like Larry King and a former Supreme Court justice, who very flippantly and without much thought said, we should repeal the Second Amendment. You know, they did do away with it. We don't need it. Repeal the Second Amendment. Well, short history lesson. Just in case, you know, Larry King is too busy drinking Mylanta or whatever else prune juice necessary to make his ancient bowels work. Every single tyrannical government, every genocide, every mass murder on the scale of millions began with the disarming of the populace. That is how it begins. You disarm the populace. You take people's ability to defend themselves away. And then you can do whatever you want. Now, I know we're not supposed to judge a book by its cover. I'm old enough to have learned that lesson well. However, I'm looking at the spokespeople for the Repeal the Second Amendment movement, whatever you want to call it. And I, for one, have no desire to be the subject, nay, the defenseless subject of a butch lesbian, 18-year-old, or a scrawny kid who every time he opens his mouth, you get the almost uncontrollable urge to make him eat his teeth. So that's where I stand. And I know, hate mail a-coming, how dare you, how dare you. I'm sorry, just because you belong to a school where some kids got shot, it doesn't give you the moral authority, the absolute authority, to dictate how I should raise my family or whether or not I should be able to protect myself. Period. End of story. Good night, Sally. What else has been happening? Because it's been exciting. Facebook's in trouble again. And people have asked, like, for the longest time they've asked, you know, why aren't you on Facebook more? This is why. Because it's not good. See, the dirty, dirty secret is that all of these tech CEOs, these guys that are rolling in the billions because of everyone downloading their apps and spending the entire day looking down to the point that they need to wear neck braces for their spine to get back into the position it was meant to be in. All of these people don't allow their kids to have smartphones. They don't allow their children to play on tablets. Some of them don't even have internet in their homes. But it's okay, you go ahead. See, whenever there's a consistency among people who ought to be the first adopters of any new tech or technology, whenever all of them say, nope, my kids don't have cell phones, they don't have smartphones, they don't have tablets, nope, when they're 16, no later, no earlier, maybe even then, on a temporary basis, you know, a couple hours a week or something. See, when all of them have the same idea, when they try to steer their children away from staring at a cell phone 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, then you have to just ask yourself, why? How come? It's like somebody who sells bacon who insists that no one in his family eat pork. It makes you question, even if you don't want to. How come you don't eat pork? Or your family? I understand, you know, maybe one of you doesn't like it, but all of them? See, and now there's a memo that has surfaced from June 18, 2016, and it sort of reveals the mindset of these people. And I want to get into this just a little bit because we live in a society where people are willing slaves. Everything anyone wants to know about you is on Facebook because you volunteer the information. There were people that were friending other people just to find out when they were going on vacation so they could break into their homes and steal their valuables. And people volunteer the information willy-nilly. Ah, I'm checking into the airport. Ah, I'm checking into my motel. Ah, I'm checking into the police station because somebody called and said I'd been robbed. So, this is the memo. Not very nice. It gives you the mindset of the people in the Silicon Valley. Because when all is said and done, after all of their bloviating, it's still all about the money, the dollars, the growth, prices shooting through the roof, so we can buy another private jet. On June 18, 2016, one of Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg's most trusted lieutenants circulated an extraordinary memo weighing the costs of the company's relentless quest for growth. We connect people. Period. Said the memo. That's why all the work we do in growth is justified. All the questionable contact importing practices, all the subtle language that helps people stay searchable by friends, all the work we do to bring more communication in, the work we will likely have to do in China someday, all of it. So we connect more people, he wrote in another section of the memo. That can be bad if they make it negative. Maybe it costs someone a life by exposing someone to bullies. Maybe someone dies in a terrorist attack coordinated on our tools. That's a ray of sunshine, isn't it? Who cares the outcome as long as we have growth? Now, the sticky wicket here. What's worse than this memo, and this is pretty ugly, you realize that you know, you wonder if these people have a heartbeat, really. But the sticky wicket is that, as of late, they've been propagandizing people. They've been curating, as the saying goes, what you see and what you don't. They've been taking liberties with what they think you ought to know, how they think you should be steered. And essentially, for lack of a better term, that is simply brainwashing people. Because that's what propaganda does. Propaganda is meant to brainwash, to make you adopt a certain groupthink, to make you embrace a certain ideology that if you took a step back and you began to search for the logic thereof, if you took a step back, you'd realize that what they are trying to sell you is absolute lunacy. You'd realize that what they're saying isn't just idiotic, isn't just self-destructive, it's aberrant if they keep pushing the issue long enough. If every single day of every single hour you're propagandized to, if any opposing view of what they're attempting to establish as the narrative is being quelled, then eventually, unless you have a very strong constitution, you'll just be worn down. And this is what has been happening. This is what Facebook has been doing. It's not just, oh, well, maybe someone dies because they coordinated an attack on our tools. It's, hey, we are the masters of the universe, and we will take it upon ourselves to tell people what to think, to tell people what to believe, to tell people who to vote for, to tell people what to buy, to tell people what to drive, to tell people that driving is evil and they should take the bus, to tell people who to hate, to tell people who to demonize, to tell people who to ostracize, to tell people who to boycott. We've taken it upon ourselves to control your life. And if you dare step out of line, if you dare attempt to go against the grain, to stand against the rushing waters, to employ reason or logic or raise a hand and say, hey, this is kind of tyrannical, then we will destroy your life. We will destroy your livelihood. We will besmirch your name. We will do everything we possibly can to make sure that you never step out of line again. And this is why platforms such as Facebook or Twitter or every one of these things are so nefarious. This is why I do not tweet. This is why I very rarely Facebook, because I understand the intent. I understand what they're attempting to do very subtly, but I think that the time for subtlety is past. So now they're going full throttle. They're going to demonize anyone who still has the temerity to say, hey, I think I have the right to defend my family, whichever way I see fit. They're going to demonize anyone that calls out the idiocies being spewed by these kids who are being used as pawns to further an agenda. And a lot of people simply don't want the hassle, so they just shut up. A lot of people don't want to be put through the ringer. A lot of people don't want to have their lives turned upside down. And so they just go along to get along. But see, the problem with an ever-tightening noose is that eventually the noose will tighten so hard that you won't be able to breathe. This is why, as long as you still have a voice and as long as you can still breathe, as you see the noose tightening, do something. Say something. Especially if you have children. Especially if you have grandchildren. It's their future. Jesus is coming. Why worry about these things? See, that kind of mindset got us here. What if Jesus tarries another decade? What if Jesus tarries too? How bad does it need to get for you to finally say, I need to speak up. I need to do something. I need to say something. This is getting out of hand. See, and I think we're past that point, aren't we? What will it take for believers to find their voice? What will it take for believers to stand up? You're a bigot if you oppose hormone blockers for six-year-olds. How much further down the rabbit hole do we need to go before we realize that our silence emboldens these fools? That our silence is more harmful than we could ever imagine. So that was the program for the day. It seems that growth is the only thing that the Book of Face is concerned with. And, you know, you can't have an omelet without breaking some eggs. And you're just little people. You don't matter anyway. So what if someone dies in a terrorist attack coordinated on our tools, or it costs someone a life by exposing someone to bullies? Pish tosh, I say, pish tosh. We connect people, and we need to grow. And that is the message that the Book of Face doesn't want you to see. All right. Thank you all for joining us. May God bless you. May God keep you. I'm going to turn it over to Gino if he's got anything to say. We are planning on being live next week. And we'll be talking about Jesus next week, because I don't know, the more I look at the disturbing world around us, the less I want to talk about it. So God bless you. God keep you. Until next time, be well.
Amen. Thank you, Mike. I think it's very important to take note. In the last days, men will follow strange fables, doctrines of demons, and it's so important that we know the word of the Lord. There's so many scriptural references to heresy in the last days, and I do believe the issue of the Pope saying there was no hell has also been brought up in the past in previous interviews. So it's very interesting that the Vatican is trying to save face with it, and it's just been a number of biblically unsound things coming through this Pope. And it should cause alarm and stir people to realize Christ is our Lord, our Savior, and the one we follow, and there is no need for a Pope or a Pontiff. You know, there isn't need for a human mediator between us and Jesus. Yes, we need pastors, evangelists, teachers, prophets, and apostles, but we don't need to call a man Holy Father. And so it's very important to really regard God's word, because we're in that hour when deception is, and has been in the last few years, has been very prevalent. We need to know the Bible. We need to know our doctrine. Doctrine does matter to God. It does matter. It's very important to have sound doctrine. And it's very important to know our biblical teachings so that we can not only live those out, but also so that we know how to answer those that might have questions about doctrinal issues. And you read in the book of Revelation, it's very important to read about the false prophet and things in there that talk about end days deceptions. And we have to follow Christ. We have to be very careful we don't follow something that's extra biblical or is not biblical or takes away from God's word. It even says in the Bible, be careful not to add or take away from the word of God. This is something, God's word is so important and so powerful and so important to the Lord that he doesn't want us adding or taking away from it. And so these programs are very important. Also touching on the issue, current events and things like that, I think in the hour we're in, I think it's important the church is mindful of current events and what's going on in our world. Hosea says we perish for lack of knowledge. We should know what's going on in our communities. We should stand for decency and biblical truth. We should stand for what's upright and honors Jesus. So with that, if you have questions, send them to lightoftruth@handofhelp.com. And please go and encourage others to go to the website, handofhelp.com. And again, get the books that are available if you have questions about prayer. We have When You Pray, 2 volumes of that, a whole book on the Holy Spirit, The Battle-Ready Believer. We also have a whole section on Christian music. I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but I will say that if you want decent Christian music, go to Hand to Help and check it out. May you have a blessed Easter and resurrection. The thought of Christ dying and resurrecting, such an awesome and tremendous time for us as Christians to have this celebration. God bless you. Have a good weekend and a good night in Christ.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast, The Light of Truth with Michael Baldea. If you would like to order a copy of today's broadcast, please visit our website at handofhelp.com. If you have questions about our ministry, you can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com or simply call us at 920-206-9910. God bless you.